All right, this morning I want to continue. If you haven't been here, I encourage you to look back on all these on this series called the Fruit Inspection. We're going to be talking about part five, gentleness and goodness.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Hallelujah. All right, well, let's pray, because we're going to need that this morning. Amen? Father, thank you. Great are you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We asked for that earlier, and we have received that. Lord, we have also asked for miracles. You have spoken to us that this would be a year of miracles if we would only believe. So, Father, help us to believe that. And we will give you the praise and give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. And bless this word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to, again, come back to the first part of this year, in January, when that message, I was the only one here, and you guys, we didn't have church that day because of the weather, I think. But a year of miracles. And I'm trusting God for miracles. Yesterday I got a call from Charlotte's sister, Susie. And actually she called me a couple of times and I called her back. But she said, Pastor, I'm laying here in this nursing home. She said, they tell me that I cannot walk, that I'll never be able to walk. She said, but I want to be able to walk. And I asked her the question. I said, well, do you believe that the Lord can let you walk? And she said, yes, I believe. I said, all right, we're going to agree together in prayer for that. Now, I prayed for her. Now, in the natural, it looks impossible. She's been laying there how long? 4 years. Well, there was a man laying at the pool of Bethesda for 30 years. And Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And he said, yeah, but I can't find anybody to heal me. And Jesus said, that wasn't the question. Do you want to be healed? So, I believe God is able to do a miracle for Susie. Do you? And can we agree together that Susie will get off of that bed? Amen. It doesn't matter. You know, people say, it's like that man laying at that pool. He said, yeah, but I don't have anybody to put me in the water. You know, every time the water is stirred, nobody's here to help me. They help everybody else. And we have all these things that we come up with. But we want to believe God for a miracle for Susie. Now, so I want to agree together. Would you, if you're in agreement, Lord, we're asking for a miracle. And we believe in miracles. And so any doubt that is there in our hearts right now, help our unbelief. Help get that out of the way. We do want to see a healing and a miracle, because naturally this is impossible, and it's only possible with you, Lord. So we're going to agree together for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I promised Susie that we would pray for her today, and I want to keep that. All right, this morning I want to continue. If you haven't been here, I encourage you to look back on all these on this series called the Fruit Inspection. The Fruit Inspection. How many of you have been inspecting your fruit that we've been going over? All right. How many of you want me again to preach on long-suffering? She wants more of it. Okay. You need a do-over. All right. You get a do-over this week. The Lord's going to bless you with some opportunities. All right. How about you, Patty? You want a do-over? You're thinking about it. Okay. All right. Well, we actually are not going to preach on long-suffering, but we will come back and read it in the Scriptures, Galatians chapter 5. If you'll go with me, this is where we begin. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary with one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such of the like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But, oh, don't you love the word but? "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and its lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Somebody say amen to God's Word. Now, today we're actually going to cover, it is my intention, we're going to cover two of these areas of the fruit of the Spirit today. We're going to be talking about gentleness and goodness. So we may go a little extra time, so hang on, okay? Any amens? Not too many. We'll see how long I last. Whatever God wants today. We're going to be talking about part five, gentleness and goodness. So I want to break these things down because these are the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is within us. And God wants us to operate with these fruit in our daily lives. So let's break this down. We've looked at the other ones up till now. We're going to be talking about gentleness. So I want to talk about that one first. So the fruit of gentleness, that is a Greek word, and it's called protes. Now, that word is mentioned 9 times in the Scripture. That word, gentleness. But there's another word that is the root of that, prowess, and that is the word meekness. So those two words will go together. Gentleness and meekness. So when you hear one or the others of the Scriptures, and that one is mentioned in the Scriptures another 4 times. So, gentleness and meekness. What does it mean? What does it mean? Now, I had Rick put this up here, of what gentleness means according to that Greek word, and then we're going to break it down. Gentleness describes gentle strength characterized by humility and a calm demeanor. Rather than weakness, this is a character of Christ. It is power under control and submission to God. All right, there's a lot of things to preach on in there. But we're going to be talking about just a few of these things here. So I gave you the meaning of it, what it means. Now, the main one that I want to key in on here is that gentleness and meekness do not mean weakness. Sometimes people read through the Scriptures and Jesus said something like that, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." So a lot of times Christians and the devil has exemplified this and said, you know what? You Christians are supposed to be weak. You're supposed to sit back and just love people and just be kind and never do anything. Guess what? That is not what meekness means. That is not what being a gentle person means. So, to help you understand this, a word picture for you. All right. Now, how many of you played football at one time or another in your lifetime? All right. Lee, he's raising his hand. You actually played football. Okay. All right. Watch out for her, okay? All right. Here's the thing. I want to equate this whole idea of gentleness and meekness. So, let's picture in your mind you have a professional NFL football player. Now, he is a lineman and he weighs 350 pounds. He's a big dude. But every day he works out, he lifts the weights, he is massive in strength. Now, but he goes home to his little 5 foot nothing wife who has just had a baby. Now he's massive. And when the wife hands him the baby, most likely she might say to him, "Be gentle." Now, can he be gentle? He can be gentle even though he is 350 pounds, nothing but muscle, and could crush that child probably with one squeeze of his hand. Now you understand what gentleness means. It doesn't mean that that football player is weak, does it? It means he has the capability, he has the power and the strength to crush that little baby. But he is gentle in handling his wife and his child with gentleness or meekness. Everybody got the picture now? You got the word picture here of what that means. So, I'm going to give you just an example. We're going to look at some scriptures of gentleness. Go back with me to Numbers. In the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron, some of you have read this story before. Miriam, Moses' sister, and Aaron, his brother, spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. How many of you know that's dangerous? And the Lord hears some of the things that we say. And we murmur. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, you three." Now, but before that, in verse 3, now the man Moses was very, what, church? He was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Now I want you to think, this is when they've come out of Egypt. How many of you remember what Moses did before he led the people out of Egypt? He did what? He killed an Egyptian. And Moses was a very strong-willed man. He really was. So, but God says in verse 3, Moses was what? Very meek above all men in the earth. So in other words, Moses had the power, but really God saw within him the ability to do what? To be gentle. To be gentle. So here's one of the places that word meek is used. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, "Come out, three of you, into the tabernacle." And they all came out. The Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, whom is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall behold, and wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." Now Moses, what power did Moses have right here? Moses could have said, "Well, the Lord's will be done. She did it. She's paying what the crime is that she did." But is that what Moses did? Aaron's begging. I think Aaron's begging because he's afraid he's next. I really think so. But Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech you." And the Lord said to Moses, "You know, if her father had spit in her face, she should not be ashamed but at least 7 days. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that be received again." And Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought back in again. And afterwards the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. So Moses was a meek man. He was empowered by God, but yet was gentle in what he did. Are you beginning to get a picture here now? All right, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, the Apostle Paul. I want to show you what this looks like to be gentle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to see something of the same manner here. "Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." In other words, he was saying, "That's how I want to come to you, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence, wherein I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, we have heard this scripture before, and we use it occasionally, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward's appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given to us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." Now, all that passage of Scripture, what the Apostle Paul says, if you missed it, is Paul was saying this. There were people that came against him in Corinth, and they were saying, "Who does this Paul think he is? Who does he think he is telling us what to do and telling us how to be Christians? Who does he think he is?" And Paul got wind of that and basically said, "I know my authority. I know that God has called me to this position of being an apostle. And I could say, Lord, take care of them." But what did he say? He said, "The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. I'm not going to take the authority that I may have and cause you to suffer. There's where the gentleness comes in at. There is where he said, but my weapons are down on my knees, taking all things captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, he had the authority to do it, but he didn't do it. This is what's called gentleness. This is what we know. 1 Peter chapter 3, one more example. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is an interesting example. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that of outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a what? Meek and gentle spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. All right. Now, does this wife have the ability to just pound, 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 pound on her husband and nag, 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 nag? Does she have that ability? Can she do that? How many women have that ability? There's one, okay? But what does God say about this? Don't use that strength or that ability that you may have, but be meek, gently handling that situation. And that man, by that gentle handling, God will begin to reveal some things to him. And let God do that work. So there is a gentleness, and here's another place that I spoke about that word, praos, is used. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, I want us to understand how this relates to us and how do we inspect it. We've heard of leaders doing this as believers. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19, behold, I saw Satan fall from heaven. And then the next verse I really like. Behold, I give unto you what? Power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy. Do believers have power? See, the devil lies to us and says, you don't have any power at all. But that's not what the Word of God says. Jesus said, I give you power. I give you that power. Now, if you want to believe the enemy and say, well, I got nothing, that's up to you. But if we believe the Word of God, Lee, he says he gives us what? Power. He gives us power. And then, you know, when we look at other scriptures, what do we know? 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. I'm going to show you this. You ready? According to his divine power, he has done what? Given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us a glory. How many of you have that? The Bible says you have that. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do we have power? According to the scriptures, we do. But it's how we use that power. There's where gentleness comes in. There's the 350-pound lineman that has the power. But we gently handle the situations that come our way. Now, though we've been given power, we are not to abuse our power. Now, God has placed a lot of us in situations. Parents, we've been given power. All right? Pastors have been given power and authority. And unfortunately, some use that authority and power for ungodly purposes. And it should never be. How about this? CEOs of companies, bosses at companies, you have been placed in charge. You are the supervisor. You are the manager. You are the one that controls the entire place. You have a lot of authority and a lot of power. How about politicians or any other leader have been given power and authority? And if any of us are in any of those positions, and that's not the complete list of them, that you have been placed over something or someone, how are we using our power? Are we using our power to get what we want? To get our agenda taken care of? Or is it about handling people gently so that they can succeed? You know, recently I heard about a billionaire that decided for some reason or another to purchase a hospital. Purchased a Catholic hospital. And the billionaire came into the hospital, dressed kind of ragged. And he said, I'd like to speak to the leadership, who's in charge. Well, the lady that was in charge of the entire hospital, they called her and she came down and she basically said, get this man out of my hospital. And had him escorted away. And he came back. The next week. And he asked for her again. She came down. This time she was hotter. And she said, what are you doing back here in my hospital? You're bothering my staff. Get out of my hospital. And had the police come and take him. 2 weeks later, there was a meeting that was called. And they contacted her and said, we have a new owner of the hospital and wants to meet with all of the leadership and all the staff. And she walked in and there he was. And she started sweating bullets. When she came into the room, she had the same attitude and said, what's he doing here? And they said, he's the new owner. Now she knew what she had done. Fully expecting to be fired. And after the meeting, he said to her, I'd like to meet with you in my office. She knew she would be fired. 30 years she'd been there at that hospital. Did the millionaire have the authority? Did he have the strength? The power? Called her into his office and said, I know how you treated me. She had her head down. And he said, because of that, how you treated me each time that I came in, what I'm going to do for you. And she said, here it is. She put her head down. And he said, I'm going to allow you to continue to be the manager of this hospital. But I'm going to expect to see some changes in how you deal with people. I don't know about you, but boy, that just sends. That's grace. That's mercy. All at work. And she didn't know what to do. You know what? In the months and weeks to come, everybody in that hospital, she treated all the workers exactly the same. Mean to them, and they hated her. In the months and years that followed, that staff came to love that lady. Because she was handled with what? Gentleness. Gentleness. Check our fruit. How do we handle? How do we handle the power that's been given to us? Be careful not to crush someone's spirit just because you have the authority to do so. Amen? Number two, goodness. And that word, it's called agathosune. And agathos, the root word of that, is found over 100 times in Scripture. Would you say this one's important? And similar to what we've been talking about, but yet different in its own way, goodness. Goodness describes generous actions to help those in need and noticing people in pain around us. It moves us to help them and to help and ease their pain. This is called goodness. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. This gift of goodness in us is allowing us to be the conduit through which Christ can work. We need to allow it to flow through us. In other words, goodness involves two things. Number one, it involves moral uprightness. In other words, doing that which is right. Micah 6:8. Anybody know that verse? You know that verse? These things I have required, saith the Lord. Number one, that you do justly. That means that you do rightly. That you do the right thing. How many of us know the difference between right and wrong? Let me ask you that one more time. How many of us know the difference between right and wrong? How many of us know the difference? Thank you. If your buddy said to you, let's go to Living Water Church and let's break the windows in and let's steal all the equipment in there, is that good or bad? That's a bad thing. We know the difference. So doing the right thing, this is goodness. Okay? It has to do with moral uprightness. And it comes from God. God is good all the time. We were singing that earlier, weren't we? It was stuck in my mind. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine because God is good. And goodness comes from God. Mark chapter 10. Jump over with me. And we're going to see that scriptural-wise in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Everybody there? Verse 17 and 18. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. That's the reason why we say God is good. God is good. So, the second one, goodness involves being generous to bless others, whether they deserve it or not. A lot of us like to be good to those who are good to us. You know what I'm talking about? We have friends, and they help us with something, so what do we want to do? Help them with something. But what about those that don't deserve it? Should we still be good to them? Yeah, absolutely. This is what the Scriptures are teaching us. It involves being generous to others whether they deserve it or not. We're going to inspect our fruit today. Are we being good? Are we being generous to those in need around us? Not just to those that are good to us. Now, a few months ago, we studied this in the book of James, and if you turn over there again, we're going to see it. We've talked about this before. In James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, Be warm, be filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so, faith, if it does not have works, is dead being alone. Are we good to people? Or are we just good to the ones that are good to us? I want us to think about that. And that's one of the things that I love about this church. And as I was preparing for this, this church, does it matter to our church if someone is in need in southern West Virginia, whether they are good people? If they have a need, what should we do? We should meet the need that is out there. That's called being good. In other words, coming back, what is it? It is noticing the pain, noticing that which others need, and help to ease their pain. Now, we're not going to go to it, but how many of you have heard of the Good Samaritan? Why was the Samaritan, why do we call him the Good Samaritan? Because he was demonstrating something that God is calling this fruit. He stopped to help a man that hated him. It wasn't about that man being a Jew who hated him. It was about helping a fellow human being. And how about us? Can we check our fruit? When we see someone in need, are we saying, that's not my type? We don't associate with your type. I hope not. I don't care what color, what race, where we come from. You know, that was big when I was growing up. If you were from the wrong side of the city or the wrong side of the tracks, you didn't associate. How many of you can identify with that? A lot of times we were taught that by our parents and grandparents or whatever. We don't associate with those people. And if they were in need, we don't help those people. We only help the people that are our kind. That's not goodness. It's not generous. And it should never be. It should never be. Matthew chapter 20. And I'm going to come close to ending on this. Notice I said come close. Matthew chapter 20. Some of you recall this story. And I want to read like 15 verses of this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go you to the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, the sixth hour and the ninth hour he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found themselves standing idle, saying to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no man has hired us. He said to them, go into the vineyard, and whatever is right or good, that shall you receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they were come, those that were hired the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered to them and said, friend, I do you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take that that is thine and go your way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now, a lot of us, we pick up other things from this story, but I want to key in on that last word. He said, I am good. I am good. Would you say that that man was exercising the fruit of goodness? Yeah. Yeah, he was. You see, because goodness was seeing the need. He knew that those folks that had been out there all day waiting for someone to hire them, did they still have need to feed their family? They sure did. They sure did. But all of us get stuck in this situation where, well, you know, if they work for it, then I'm going to give them what's due to them. But goodness goes over and above that. It's kind of like if you are in a restaurant and someone is waiting on you, but in essence, they're not really doing a great job. But what does goodness say? I'm going to bless them. Because perhaps that server has a family at home. They're struggling with something that has gone on during the day or having a bad week or whatever the case. You know, the Lord convicted me on this several years ago when I said, you know what? I'm only going to give them what they deserve. And the Lord said, really? Do I give you what you deserve? Let me open that wallet up a little bit more, God. Here you go. Be good. Be generous. Especially when you see a need. God wants us to be good. And this word really centralizes on being generous. So we need to inspect that within us. You know, are we principle? Some people say, no, it's the principle of the thing. Anybody ever say that? It's just the principle of it. What if God said, look down at you and say, it's just a principle. I'm only going to give you this much because that's all you deserve. How many of us would want that? Wouldn't we want to say, I don't deserve it, but I still need. And God looks at us and says, I'm good. I'm good. God is good. And if we pattern ourselves after Him in being generous, especially when we see people and see needs that are out there and see pain and you see people struggling underneath a load. Okay, what did Jesus say? Come unto me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Do you deserve the rest? No, but He's being good. He's being good. So we too need to be good. Good. And I think about this steward here that paid everybody the same thing. He was good. He was being good. They didn't deserve it, but He did it anyway. Because they had needs as well. So summing up what goodness is, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Galatians one more time. Very close to where we started. Galatians chapter 6. Summing this whole business of being good. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit, life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. Key verse that I want to leave you with. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do what? Now we know what good is because we just talked about it. Let us do good unto some men My context. All men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So within the church, should we be good to each other? Should we see needs? If we see needs, should we meet the needs within our body of Christ? Those that are here in this church, we should. You see someone in pain or they're struggling under a burden, go help them. Okay? That's being good to the house of God, but to all men. All men. Yeah, but Pastor, I shouldn't be good to them if they're not saved. That's not what the Scriptures say, is it? Do good as you have therefore opportunity. Now, last week, I prayed that God would bring things and buttons would be pushed so that you could grow in that area. This week, I'd like to pray that God would provide the opportunities for us to be good. As you have the opportunity, do good. Do good. Let that be part of who you are. If that isn't who you are and what you have been, let's change that. Let's let that fruit just really blossom out there. It may not be something you're used to doing. You may be that principle-operated person that says, you do this, I'll do this. Let's break that mold. And let's just be good. Because God's been so good to us. Amen? Amen. Pray together with me. Lord Jesus, right now I come with this congregation and with all those that have heard and will hear this message. I pray for opportunity, Lord. Bring us opportunity to be good. Oh, Father, You love people. And You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Father, I also pray for gentleness to be a part of who we are, that we would be gentle with people and good to people as You are doing the same thing with us. And I will give You praise, and Lord, give us the opportunities to do both of those things. And we will praise You and give You honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.